Katie, it's Thanksgiving. You guys holding hands this year?
Yes, we are.
I feel bad. We make fun of Katie for that all the time.
It's a great tradition. I hope that when my children grow up,
I feel bad for making fun of it because it is lovely.
They'll go, oh my gosh, every year we've held hands for Thanksgiving. Now but mom then, just be died. Like we still need to hold hands.
Wow, this got dark quick.
No, but like...
Now that mom's gone.
Now that mom's gone.
We don't have to do this anymore.
Stop it. They're going to want to, Patrick.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. Ooh. This is Patrick Nazaroff with me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Katie Phillips.
Gobble, gobble.
Oh, my gosh.
Bring it back
that's
from
a
last
callback.
Year.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. Completely forgot.
For our longtime listeners.
And if you're a longtime listener, just go back and search your episodes. There's a Thanksgiving one this time last year.
Yes. Happy...
approximately 1 year ago.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. It's busy around here, so we're going to get a little in and out on this one. We won't be as probably in-depth or as long
there are
on
no
this
in-and-out
podcast.
Burgers
not
around.
To be... Oh, man!
You got to be quick, Katie.
This is twice now.
Just because it's almost a Thanksgiving break doesn't mean that you can,
I was
know,
about to make
off.
A burger comment.
All right. Let's get... Where are you going here? Let's talk about some news.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Well, it's a gobble theme.
Gobble, 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 gobble.
What would a turkey news anchor do if they were introducing the news?
I wish I could make a turkey noise right now.
You did. You
like, No, like a...
All right. For years, Thanksgiving feasts have featured bland roast turkeys, canned cranberry sauce, and boxed stuffing mix. I agree. Thanksgiving meal... overrated.
I stand by
it. If it comes by that standard,
yeah,
yes.
Sure. Yeah. That sounds terrible. I don't want to eat that either. Yeah, that is not what Thanksgiving has to be.
Nobody's
still
making
eat the canned cranberry sauce.
Nobody's making green bean casserole on just some random Sunday in May. It does not happen.
No.
All right, because it's boring. It's not a
good
thing.
No, it's
boring.
Good.
It's delicious.
Then why don't you make it any other time of year?
Because it's a
because
special
it's
thing.
Special. Why don't I hold hands every day?
Why don't I make a honey baked ham?
Make everybody stand in a circle and say what they're thankful for.
I'm just saying, if it was that good, you'd want even more. All right, well, thanks to Taco Bell. Here we go. These painfully generic holiday dishes will plague American families no longer.
Excellent. What's Taco Bell doing for my Thanksgiving?
Soup. I saw this.
Yes, it is a bisque. So through Taco Bell, you can now create a bisque.
Wait. Through Taco Bell, you can create.
Yes.
Sure.
So are we buying this?
So the Taco Bell chain has released a recipe to simultaneously horrifying and thrilling concoction on its blog for all use. All right, so you need to hit up Taco Bell for its rolled chicken taco party pack. Featuring 6 rolled chicken tacos and 6 crunchy tacos.
Okay.
Using those rolled chicken tacos, you are going to blend them together to create a holiday bliss, a bisque, this Thanksgiving.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Is that going to be a Bowser family tradition?
It will not be. It will. Yeah. Anyone who enters my house with that will be politely asked to leave and encouraged to repent of their sins and seek their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
They recommend you use a cast iron stock pot because,
obviously.
You know, you don't want to use low quality stuff. You're working with a high quality ingredient.
Right.
You want to use high quality tools.
Yeah.
This is getting worse by the sentence. Go
all
ahead.
Right. Yeah. According to CNN here, where I'm getting this thing, it does have a recipe that you could follow here. Let's keep going here. All right. You want to blend it all up? Use heavy whipped cream as well. You know, obviously.
Heavy whipping cream. Yeah, not heavy whipped cream.
Yep. And you can garnish options includes cheese.
Cool Whip and Taco Bell.
Yes. I mean,
ready whip on top just to make sure we got it covered.
Your garnish options can include cheese, a lime wedge, or cilantro. Or maybe Pepto-Bismol, just right there, poured on top. Skip out the middle, man.
A drizzle of Pepto-Bismol, yeah.
Yes. But wait, it gets better.
Of course it does.
Because remember, you got the party pack, so it also includes the 6 regular tacos.
Now we're talking.
Those are for dipping.
Obviously.
Just pick up that taco, dip it right under that bisque.
Right.
Yes.
So wait, are we blending the crunchy tacos?
No, you're building a rolled, crispy taco. It's like a flauta.
Ooh.
And I'm from San Antonio. I know these things. you blend that up with their heavy whipping cream, other ingredients, you know, broth, make a bisque, and now you take the taco and you just dip it on it.
Oh, so you're scooping the taco out with the ingredients.
No.
You're blending up.
There's a rolled chicken taco.
Yes, all that's the point.
Okay.
Oh, you were on board.
I was on board if we were scooping out the inside.
No, that provides a little, you know, it's a little texture to the mix. Texture is important in your ingredients, yeah.
What makes a bisque a bisque?
I don't know.
Probably flour. It's thicker than a soup,
is
right?
A bisque flour
yeah,
thicker?
It's like a, it, what is it called that you make before you?
A roux.
That. Tell me that a lot. So, he's like, start with the roux. And
well,
I'm like,
well, flour's not on here, but flour would be in the crispy...
The flauta.
Unless you scrape out the insides.
Well, it's rolled. You can't scrape out the inside. It's like it looks like a straw with stuff inside of it.
It's crispy?
Oh, my gosh.
I've never had one of these things, clearly.
All right, we're like going to Taco Bell for lunch.
Today. I will say, like, a Mexican bisque sounds like a nice addition to a Thanksgiving menu. This sounds disgusting and horrifying and is going to be the thing of my nightmares.
The flavors don't do it with Thanksgiving, but go ahead.
Well, you've heard it. Yeah.
Maybe for your Thanksgiving.
We're going to Fogo de Chao this Thanksgiving.
Of course you are.
Yes.
You don't like Thanksgiving.
No, I told you it's boring. It's not a fun meal.
You're boring. You're not a fun meal.
Do you want to come over to my house and hold hands?
Like for Thanksgiving? Or
yeah,
like...
I'll hold hands if I get some brisket out of it. That's
fine. Yeah, you guys do brisket, so that makes a...
We also do turkey.
Well, yeah, I don't want the turkey. I want the brisket.
I know.
All smoked turkey's real good.
You tell yourself that. All right, let's get on to our big topic here. Thanksgiving. We're talking a little bit about gratitude and a little bit about generosity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Pastor David, you've been leading a Bible study about gratitude.
I have, yeah. We've been talking about with our mom's Bible study here at Lord of Life.
Are our moms especially...
they're incredibly grateful.
Grateful, yes.
Yeah, they are. In fact, several of them, I think, are listeners, so I want to thank them for sharing with us. We've got one more class. By time of airing, that class will be over, so... Okay. That'll happen. But yeah, so we talked first kind of how to develop gratitude in ourselves and our own lives, and then how to share gratitude with others. And then as of time of recording, it's to be determined what we're going to be talking about in the third session. But something that we will also hopefully be grateful for. We'll see.
Well, I mean, this is a holiday to remember gratitude, to lift up things that we're thankful for. So anything that you're thankful for, do we need to hold hands here, Katie? Go over. What are our Beyond Sunday Thanksgivings here?
Sorry. Are we doing a thankful thing here?
Yeah. What is the Beyond Sunday team thankful for this holiday season?
Well, I'm gonna get up and say it first. I'm thankful for the birth of my son. Aww. No copycats. Yeah. I
didn't have a son.
I didn't have a son.
Not me.
You have a son.
I mean, I have one, but I didn't.
Not thankful for him.
Have one this year. I am just glad that everyone is healthy. Like, in my family.
Hmm.
Not around the table.
Yeah, you are sick right now. Stay away.
Yeah, we're all slightly dying.
But that we're just, that life is good right now.
Yeah.
I'm just thankful for that.
That's great. For a Beyond Sunday team, I think one of the things, you know, we're thankful for, we've reached a year of podcasting.
Yeah.
I did some research. Most podcasts fail before they hit 10 episodes.
Really?
Yeah. And
last time it was 7, so I don't know that.
We have a lot to talk research. About.
Yes. So before 10, most podcasts fail before double digits, and here we are. And we're still going strong, and it's fun to do this with you. Mm-hmm. And I also am thankful for the birth of my son.
Whatever, I called it, copycat.
Yeah. Well, look, my son is bigger. If I placed him on your kid, he'd win in a fight.
Yeah, I mean, I guess your son could roll over on top of my son.
He doesn't roll over too much. He's pretty big.
Poor Timmy.
I'm thankful that you guys had babies this year so that I can hold babies.
So you can live vicariously through our children.
Yes, because I don't want any, but y'all, congratulations.
Aw, thanks.
Well, during this time, too, where we're thinking of like gratitude and generosity.
Sure. They often are things that go hand in hand, right? We often like to think about how when we're grateful for something that
you want to express that.
Yes.
So we have an article here from Reliant Magazine.
All right.
5 ways to
Reliant, not relevant?
Relevant.
Like the electric company?
Right, that's
like, that's on me, that's on me.
Relevant Magazine.
Relevant Magazine.
We've talked about Relevant before.
Yeah. They are a Christian publication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a couple major Christian publications. I guess they would be one of the major ones.
Sure.
Okay.
You know.
They're typically geared for a younger reading audience.
Sure. You know, they offer news of not just Christian sources on their things.
Yep.
They talk about pop culture, too. All right, so they have an article here. 5 ways to be generous, even if you're broke.
Uh-huh.
All right, so we'll talk a little bit about some generosity here.
All right.
Can I guess? I feel like I want to guess.
Give me a guess. What's a way you can be generous, even
Katie,
if you're broke?
Go ahead.
Your time. Donating your time.
Donating your time.
To do things. Like
all of these are going to be variances of donating your time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is that like the overarching theme?
Yeah, so the first one is serve at your local church. Serve at your local church. that's definitely a good way to be generous, even if you're broke. Have you ever done serving over Thanksgiving at like a soup kitchen or something like that?
I have not.
No, I have not either.
This was a family tradition when I was in high school growing up. My mom and I would always go to this thing to serve Thanksgiving meal to the homeless. Again, I don't really care about Thanksgiving meal already. And it was just really my mom and I most of the time growing up. So that was something that we could do. And, you know, it was a neat way to give back.
Yeah, that's great.
In a couple of years, we did Meals on Wheels over Thanksgiving as well. So I think it is really neat to kind of experience that, to remember that, you know, people are out there. Certainly not being able to have the same provisions that we would have normally.
For sure.
So serving at a local church, any places coming up do you think that they could, if our listeners are local at Lord of Life, that they would want to serve here?
Yeah, we have a local Meals on Wheels program here in the Woodlands. I'm sure that if you were interested, this is going to be a Monday, so there could potentially still be time to get hooked up with them.
Sure.
You might also check in with Interfaith of the Woodlands or, I don't know, the local feeding ministries in this area. I don't know those specifically. So
I have a couple connections there that we can maybe put on our website if you're very interested. Or just use Google. I mean, Google is a pretty good resource. So,
yeah, absolutely.
All right, so serving at your local church, that's one way. Do you have any other guess on another one, Katie? So you said your time.
Are they not all kind of time related?
You know, kind of. But, you know, I would say like that's the time of service.
Okay.
You know.
All right. Katie does not
I got nothing.
She's got no more
Sorry.
Guesses.
Sorry. Blank stare. What?
All right. Well.
Who's talking?
Number two, have people over to your home. There you go.
Done.
See, that's interesting. So say more about what do they say about this?
All right, so God has given you a place to call home. Yeah, house, township, condo, apartment, whatever that is. You can use that to advance in God's kingdom. Have people over. This isn't necessarily just for Thanksgiving, but, you know, you could have people over for pizza, game nights, potlucks, whatever it is, just having generous with your space.
Sure.
And I think that is an interesting way of, like, fostering generosity of home. I'm an introvert, so having people, like strangers in my home, like intimidates me a lot. My wife is not an introvert. But I think this is something powerful of like, how can people come together using a centralized location? This is a powerful way to be generous. Do you guys have...
And your home is a very private space. I mean, that's, you know, probably the most intimate space that you have is, you know, your own home and whatever you call for that. And to invite people to be a part of that is really... Yeah, it's a meaningful way to invite them into your life.
When we moved 2 years ago to a totally new location, new group of people, didn't know anybody out where we were living. And I remember, so we moved in November and we had Shane's birthday party in March. And we had only been there did a lot of stuff over in the spring in the Woodlands area. We didn't do a lot of stuff in our community other than school. So we really didn't know a lot of people.
Sure.
But having everybody over at Shane's birthday party, like friends he had met at school that I'm like, I don't even know their parents, you know, but like being able to have people over and building that community was just really, really neat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's awesome. One of the things we're doing for Thanksgiving as a high school youth program is having our own little Friendsgiving party at somebody's house.
That's awesome.
Here. I think that's it separates us a little bit from just like isolating ourselves to the church world, but like being at home, celebrating a meal together is powerful.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll bring it's very some early bisque.
There you go. You can bring some Taco Bell bisque. It's also very early church, right? I mean, that's where people would have gathered originally, just by coming into one another's homes.
All right. So another thing you can do, number three here on our list, donate unused items.
There you go.
All right. This is probably a big one for all of us.
I'd say unused or lightly used.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
However, I'm going to quote my mother-in-law on this. Junk for Jesus is still junk.
Sure.
So don't think that just because you don't want it, other people need it. Yeah.
Yeah, probably for most of us, we have many, many things in our house, in our workspaces, in our cars, that we just are not using at all. Things that we bought with the full intent of, like, this will make me happy, and then it's just like, pull it, though.
Yeah.
And could go to somebody who is in need. I mean, so this is a good time of year to say, these are coats that are still usable, still would be able to provide somebody warmth. And we just aren't using them.
Yeah.
We just don't wear them. I just it sits in my closet unused. So this would be a good time of year to start saying, what could I have that could be passed on to somebody else?
Yep.
Yeah. And there's a lot of neat places in our area and probably in your area that could take these things and redistribute them to people that need. So we have like an interfaith ministry. There's Salvation Army, Goodwill.
Yep.
A lot of places out there that will gladly take blankets, coats, socks.
Yeah.
You know, but...
And something I want to add to that is don't forget your neighbors around you as well, like people that you may know that you don't know sure. might be struggling, or you hear something about people just in your own neighborhood, even, you know, that need things. So, of course, we, you know, donate what you can to Salvation Army and all of those good causes, but don't forget about the people that you might know, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. So not just to strangers, but there are people in your world. Start thinking of like who could potentially benefit from something like this, or who in my world has potentially have a need right now, and how can I help fill that? I think that's a good thing. Pastor David, you mentioned at the beginning like junk for Jesus is still junk.
I did.
Yeah. What do you mean by that? Yeah.
So I mean, you know, just because you've got some beat up old, you know, thing that you don't want anymore, if it's not something that you would potentially use or want in your home, that doesn't mean that somebody else is going to want that. Or, you know, if it's broken, if it's not in good condition, if it's, you know, just because it's no longer functioning for you doesn't mean someone else should have it.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, I think we think of people who are going to or need to go to Goodwill or need to go to a hand-me-up shop or something like that. Well, they should just be grateful for whatever they get, even if it is my coffee maker that's half broken and, you know, whatever. And that's, you know, our generosity should be that we want them to have what they need and have, you know, things that are functional and working well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think sometimes things just need to go in a trash can as opposed to being donated. And sometimes there's really great opportunity to donate things and to put those things to good use. Maybe not that t-shirt that has 7 holes in it, but maybe that suit jacket that you wore, you know, 4 or 5 times that's still in really great shape.
A practice that I've heard, and I've sometimes used it myself, is this idea of like you go through your closet and you take all your hangers or your clothes on there and you actually put them the opposite direction. So instead of like the little hook facing away from you, it's now facing towards you.
And when you wear them.
And when you take something off your thing, you take the hanger and flip it back around. And so then after a year, you can say like, look at all these hangers that are facing me. These are clothes I never wore this year. And those are the things I can get rid of. Those are things that, you know, one, I'm not going to pretend like I'm going to get skinnier over the next year. Didn't happen this last year. It's going to happen this next year, I'm sure. And I'm going to fit in these clothes that I really, really liked, and it's just not going to work. Or these are clothes that, you know, just no longer fit my style and my lifestyle anymore. And those are things that I can look at potentially saying, could they go to someone?
This is my 1982 tracksuit. I probably don't need that anymore.
Oh, I'd wear that. All right, another one that we can use, probably an underused one in society, probably by ourselves, send handwritten notes of encouragement, number 4.
I like that, yeah.
Yeah, how good are you at writing handwritten notes?
Pretty terrible.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Katie?
She's great at it, you can already tell.
Yeah, I know.
She's trying to be like all...
No.
I'm like that too, everybody.
I mean, I'm pretty good with thank you cards. I don't know. It comes and goes. It comes in waves.
Sure.
Sometimes I'm like, I just can't in this season. Like, I'm just, that's not on my radar. But then there are other seasons that I'm like, oh, let me write this down.
I'm terrible at it. This is something I really wish I was better at. When, you know, Timmy was born, we got a lot of gifts. And we kept, like, a list of all the gifts. And we were going to write the best of intentions to write all these thank you notes, and then I lost the list, and then I was like, and then I lost the thank you notes, and I was like, oh gosh,
off to a great start here.
Things went off the rails really quickly. We're very grateful to everybody that did it. I just, you know, sometimes it's easy to forget that attitude of gratitude. You know, that's a we'll use that, you know. For your Bible study, attitude of gratitude. There you go. You're missing that's one.
Third session. We got it. Attitude of gratitude.
But this is, even if somebody's not giving you a gift and you're writing a an encouragement note, this could be a way to just say, hey, I've been thinking about you lately and I want to know why you are valuable and special to me and to this world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who are some people do you think that would be beneficiaries of of a note like that?
And one of the things that we talked about in last week's session of the Bible study about gratitude was an idea that I came up with, what I'm calling like the thank you business cards.
Okay.
And so you get like a business card size piece of paper, or you can make these at home, or you can get them on Vistaprint, whatever. And then you just put thank you for blank on it, and then you just carry 5 or 6 in your pocket, and as you're going through your day, just fill in the blank and leave them for somebody, right? You know, so if you have a really great wait staff somewhere, if you have an encounter with a police officer, first responder, if you have someone at your work who's, you know, doing something that's really helpful, you know, just little ways to kind of keep our mindset of thanking people all the time.
Yeah, I think that's a great way. And I also think, you know, sometimes looking at people who serve in our society that are overlooked and unthanked, you know, the custodian at your business or your kid's school, daycare providers, youth workers. You know, those are all good people. to write a good thank you note. Yeah, favorite podcast team.
Sure,
you know,
yeah. Yes. Yeah. The unsung heroes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, yeah. And finally, say yes. Most generous people I know are not just generous with money. They are generous with their time. Mm-hmm. Ding, 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 Katie. They listen for opportunities to serve. And when they arrive, they say yes. All right, so so instead of saying not now or maybe later, make your answer yes when opportunities arise to serve.
Yeah.
So what do you think about this as a way to be generous?
I think it's a cool practice. I think, you know, especially to, like, give yourself a period of time. Say, like, for the next month, I'm going to say yes to every opportunity that I can. I think that'd be an interesting kind of self-experiment to see what you learn about yourself. You know, put yourself into situations that you haven't been in or that you wouldn't necessarily be comfortable doing originally, but say, for a month, I'm going to try it, and I'm going to be serving in places that I would not have gone otherwise. You might find something that you never knew you'll love.
Yeah, this is a staple of the improv community. Mm-hmm. It's their number one rule is to say yes. And I did improv for a year and a half. I'm retired.
Went out on top,
yeah. But I think this is an awesome thing. Because in improv, the idea is like if we were doing a scene and somebody said like, hey, we're on Mars, you just say, yes, we're on Mars. You don't try to contradict it. You don't try to go in a different direction. You always want to affirm what the other person says and then add something on top of that. That's kind of the way it works. Mm-hmm. And so by saying yes, it's an opportunity to say, like you mentioned, hey, something came up. I can just say yes to this. I don't need to say not now or figure out what a better time is to serve or a better time is to do these things. And that doesn't mean that we just busy ourselves up, but it does mean we say, for this time period, I will say yes. Mm-hmm. God, give me a way to say yes today. Give me something in my life that I can say yes to right now. Mm-hmm. And I know God is a pretty good God, and he can do that. Those things may appear.
God can do lots of things.
Yeah.
You know what? I love the improv example, because at least in my limited understanding as someone who has not professionally done improv,
you know, it's,
so you can feel free to correct me.
Sure,
here.
I will.
You would probably be good at it, though.
I don't know. Let's see.
You would do well, I think.
Okay.
Anyway,
well, that's kind of you. So what I love about the example is, right, the intent of saying yes is that the scene that is created is more fruitful and more of what it's supposed to be when you say yes to one another.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And when you are constantly fighting one another to say no to something, then the scene falls flat and nobody gets what they want. Including the audience. And so in the same way, like when we're engaging in this practice, when we engage in this opportunity to say yes to these things that come our way, I think there's an opportunity that something's going to be more fruitful than we would have imagined than if we're constantly battling and saying no, where we're going to end up not getting any of the things that we would have hoped for.
Yeah, look, we've all been around people, whether those be family, friends, business associates, or a school project, where one of the persons is a no person, where everything that's suggested, the answer is no. You're told why it won't
Nancy's.
Work immediately. Yeah, Nancy. Those Nancys in our world. Yeah. And that can be a trying time. And we can probably even admit there are times where we've been that person where somebody's been like, why don't you try this? And we say, no, that won't work, without even considering it, without even thinking about it, or without even exploring what that could look like.
Mm-hmm.
So saying yes makes, I think you're a more fun person to be around. And two, I think it changes your outlook on life, that it changes you from more of finding the things that shouldn't or all the obstacles in the way of something positive. It now saying yes gives you, you know, license to pursue something positive, even if there are obstacles. And maybe it won't work.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yep. And like you said, right, this is not just say yes to everything so that you're so busy that you can't even stand, right? That's, you know, it becomes a spiritual practice of intentionally saying yes to things and discerning what your yes should be.
Yeah. Oh, say yes.
God's calling.
He's got an opportunity for you. You just answer and say, like, yes.
The answer's yes, please.
Well, thanks for listening this week. It's a busy week for the Beyond Sunday team at work, with Thanksgiving coming up and a lot of stuff going on with Advent, with Christmas. We all have a lot on our plate right now. And so we wanted to get out a short podcast for our listeners this week, something you can listen to while you're making your green bean casserole, while you're making, I don't know, turkey.
You're on your drive to Fogo de Chao.
So much judgment in everything that he's saying about every single meal.
Look, if that's what you want to eat.
Sweet potatoes, dressing.
My wife likes a Thanksgiving meal.
Some year.
So when how about Kat just comes to my house?
Yeah, I was about to say, some year when you're not going to Fogo de Chao, we're going to have you up, and we're going to turn your mind around.
Probably next year we're going to be back on the classic Thanksgiving meal, because Simi will be a little older. Mm-hmm. Now, he can't really enjoy it anyway.
He won't really enjoy it next year either. I just want to warn you of that in advance, but
normalize.
My kids don't even eat it. Like, the only thing my daughter will eat is macaroni and cheese.
Which is not traditional Thanksgiving.
Right, I know. That's why. She's the reason I make it.
All
right. Macaroni and cheese?
No, macaroni and cheese is amazing.
It's like, who? What?
Patrick prefers his macaroni and cheese to be blended with taco crackers
on top. Yeah, you could add a little Taco Bell taco sprinkled on top of your mac and cheese.
That's weird. All right.
Katie's done.
I'm done.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a happy Thanksgiving. We will be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Gobble, gobble, right, Katie?
Gobble, gobble.